Radio Daily.
For Weekend Eve. That's right, it's almost that time again. And there's not many more of those left before the whole ho-ho-ho kind of stuff where fat men break into your house when you're sleeping and everyone seems to be cool with it. What's that about? No one should be breaking into your house. I don't care if they're fat or not. No one should be breaking into your house.
Yeah, this is weird, man.
Just strange. This is a whole concept. Anyway, welcome to the 9th of December with the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. The folks that are bringing it to you today, the man that will tell you exactly what you need to hear to make yourself better. That there's podcaster Rick Siegfried.
You know what? I have to stop you. This has become boring.
Oh, snap. So get more interesting, I guess, is what he's saying. You know, he told me that this one time when we were at this place and there were people around and I don't know. Anyway, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
By the way, you know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Huh. What happened today, sir?
In 1793, American lexicographer Noah Webster establishes New York City's first daily newspaper, the American Minerva, named after the Roman goddess of poetry and wisdom.
1805, Comet 3D/1805V1, also known as Comet Biela, passes within 0.0366 astronomical units of Earth. And if you're a real cool nerd, you know how close that was.
1879, a patent for the first automatic telephone switching system is issued to M.D. Connolly of Philadelphia, T.A. Connolly of Washington, D.C., and T.J. McTighe of Pittsburgh.
1888, Herman Hollerith installs his computing device at the United States War Department.
1908, George Albert Smith demonstrates the Kinemacolor motion picture process for the first time to the Royal Society of Arts in London, England. Kinemacolor is a two-color additive color processing for photographing and projecting a black and white film behind alternating red and green filters.
1909, the first monoplane flown in the U.S. is piloted by Henry W. Walden in Long Island, New York.
1960, the Sperry Rand Corporation of St. Paul, Minnesota unveils the UNIVAC 1107, the first electronic computer to employ thin film memory.
1965, a Charlie Brown Christmas premieres. Do, 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 do.
1978, Pioneer Venus 2 drops 5 probes into atmosphere of Venus.
1991, the High Performance Computing and Communication Act of 1991, drafted and introduced by Senator Al Gore, is an act of becoming Public Law 102-194. It will make widespread internet access a possibility through the creation of the High Performance Computing and Communication Initiative. You know, because he invented the internet.
1993, a joint Senate Judiciary and Government Affairs Committee hearing is held to investigate video game violence. In particular, the committee examines both Mortal Kombat and Night Trap, a game containing a highly controversial full-motion scene in which a young girl in a nightgown is murdered.
You know, like most things that were on after 11 o'clock on Cinemax and the Movie Channel. 1994, 5M Meteor 1994 XM1 passes within 100,000 kilometers of Earth.
1995, Blizzard Entertainment releases the real-time strategy game Warcraft 2 Tides of Darkness for personal computers in the U.S.
1999, the Quebec provincial government threatens Nintendo and Sony with a lawsuit if it doesn't release French-language versions of its popular video game products in Canada by year's end. You will do it!
2000, Bandai releases the WonderSwan Color video game system in Japan.
2001, the French Académie des Sciences issues a public statement calling on the European Commission not to apply ordinary copyright rules to scientific publications for which the authors seek no payment.
2005, Walden Media releases the chronic
The What?
Skulls of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, directed by Andrew Adamson, to 3,616 U.S. theaters.
2010, David Bowman, now a magnetic being, returns to Earth and later on merges with HAL 9000. Jupiter explodes, forming Lucifer, no, not the demon, but a small sun. In the year 2010, the year we make contact. Birthdays?
Jesse Metcalf is 43 from John Tucker Must Die, The Dead Rising movies, Escape Plan 2, Chase, and Land of Canaan.
Ryko Aylesworth is 49 from 24, Stargate Universe.
Toby Huss is 55, Artie on Pete and Pete, various voices on King of the Hill, Down Periscope, RAPD, and Venture Brothers.
John Malkovich is 68 from In the Line of Fire, Man in the Iron Mask, Shadow of the Vampire, Red, wherever you need a really weird looking guy.
Michael Dorn is 69 from Chips, Gargoyles, Santa Claus, Ted 2, and of course will always be Worf in the Star Trek universe.
Michael Nouri is 76 from The Curse of Dracula, Flashdance, The Hidden, The OC, Damages.
Beau Bridges is 80 from The Wizard. The Positively True Adventures of the Alleged Texas Cheerleading Murdering Mom, Jerry Maguire, various Stargate shows and movies, and a fantastic episode of Tales from the Dark Side.
Judi Dench is 87, a study in terror as time goes by. The Bond flick, Shakespeare in Love, Chocolat.
Born this day no longer with us in 1779, Tabitha Babbitt Shaker, toolmaker and inventor, including inventions for the circular saw, spinning wheel head, and false teeth.
Okay. 1887, Tim Moore, who played George Kingfish Stevens on Amos and Andy.
1899, Jean de Brunoff, creator of Babar.
Which has a really dark origin if you look it up. 1904, Robert Livingston from Zorro, the 36 version, Bold Caballeros in 39, played the masked man in The Lone Ranger, Rides Again.
1916, Kirk Douglas from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Spartacus, Final Countdown, and Tough Guys.
1922, Red Fox from Cotton Comes to Harlem, Sanford and Son, Harlem Nights, and wow, you could not listen to his records when Feel Mama found out. Oh, goodness.
No. And I love Harlem Nights. I think it's a classic, very underrated. 1928, Dick Van Patten from Soylent Green, Eight is Enough, Spaceballs, Men in Tights, the greatest donkey basketball ref ever. I challenge you otherwise.
Thank you, Dotted Mike. 1930, Buck Henry from Catch 22, The Man Who Fell to Earth, Eating Raoul, To Die For.
And 1931, Patty Edwards, the voice of Gozer.
Something like that.
On CBS, we've got a rerun of Young Sheldon, United States of Al, Ghosts, Be Positive, and a New Bowl.
ABC has got a new Station 19, Grey's Anatomy, then Cassie and Jenny fear for the worst when they discover a grisly message meant for Dietrich, and Tanya hopes to gain Dono's trust and make Ron listen. Cassie has an emotional breakthrough. Both Ronald and Scarlett work to break out on a new Big Sky.
NBC has The Blacklist, Eleno Savu, and Eleno Ock.
Fox has Pittsburgh Steelers and the Minnesota Vikings from the U.S. Bank Stadium. Steel, Vikings, I don't know, man. Stuff.
Sounds like a good name for a metal band. CW, Mickey tells Trey the truth about her past, leading them to mull over the future. Walker and Liam set their differences aside and agreed to trust one another when Denise asks them to investigate a case. Bonham plays Santa Claus during a holiday party on a new Walker and a new Legacies.
Freeform, get lost in the lifeless dead eyes of the Polar Express.
FX has Bohemian Rhapsody.
FX, your Simpsons Marathon has I'm Just a Girl Who Can't Say No and No Canada.
FXM has Terminator Genisys.
BBC America has U.S. Marshals, the sort of sequel to The Fugitive No One Asked For.
Paramount has The Shawshank Redemption. Boy, really getting into the festive spirit, ain't
right. It's just like Sci-Fi Channel, they got Twister. Ooh, Santa's sleigh is up in there spinning around. Look out, ah.
Oh, TNT's got them beat. They got Kong Skull Island.
True TV. It's the season finale. The season finale. Yes, of Tacoma FD, which means it's fire at the fire station. The one time a year they get to have a fire in the show about firemen. But tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. A widower and father of two daughters become suspicious of an attractive woman who he begins to spend time with after she moves across the street, helps with his girls, when her ex-husband is mysteriously found dead. Christine Shetland and Derek Hamilton star in Deceitful Dating.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update.
Abby journeys back to learn the fate of a homeland. Meanwhile, Sonny and crew welcome a visit from Baron Will, who is here to reclaim his legacy. He wants to celebrate Halloween, too, because he has missed, like, the last 31. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
You've got mail.
Love the deep cut novel title references. Made my Agatha Christie fangirl self squee a bit. Not super excited about this reimagined story, but I probably will watch it anyway. That is from Anna. Well, yes, Anna, I'm right there with you. I will watch this movie about what allegedly happened to Agatha Christie during those 11 days and watch Doctor Who again afterwards. Like we all will.
Not the bees.
Hello from the Great White North. It sounds like Chabby have gone back to a simpler time by starring in... I would have loved to catch this when it was on just for the accents alone. At least I believe they had accents. I mean, some of the names are almost impossible for English-only speakers to say. Yes, I did think about including them just to see if you would say them, but I don't feel that mean today. Now, who's going to come and warm me up? Oh, where I could just dig out my winter coat, but cuddling seems like so much more fun. Love and rocket launchers, just using for warmth, I swear. That is from Drace.
Coo, 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 coo.
Ooh, that's right. We could have some back bacon. If you'd like to have some other...
Whoa, children's show.
No. It's in a Christmas song, for God's sakes. And if you remember the lyrics to it, by all means, why don't you everyone call and sing together or write about your experiences with it. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com or, of course, a text mail, a voicemail, another thing like that. Just use the magic numbers.
510-GRD-CROW.
Do you know how hard I had to work not to be inappropriate with that message, Drace? You're welcome.
See how I let that just go by? Look at me. I am the perfect gentleman.
Like, don't be inviting people to come get all up on you, girl. Come on now. I'm just a man.
Hi, kids. I'm an astronaut. And when I'm not performing highly technical maneuvers on a space shuttle, I like to listen to the Accidental Survivor Podcast, the modern gaming podcast.
That's right, kids. 9 out of 10 astronauts surveyed preferred Accidental Survivors to Tang, except that it was mixed with vodka. You can find us at accidentalsurvivors.libsyn.com. Accidental Survivors. You don't need to be drunk to enjoy it, but it sure helps.
Hi, this is Jeff Combs, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
He knows how difficult it is to be in a 3D movie. I know that's completely out of context, but, you know.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Clodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast off.
One thing I know is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
In the holiday season? That's crazy. What games are out this week, sir?
After the Fall, a VR multiplayer shooter by Vertigo Games, available for the PC.
Loop Hero, a fantasy 2D strategy role-playing game for the Switch.
Witchwood. An adventure game for PC where they don't understand that eyes are needed instead of Ys. It's available for the Switch, PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series XS.
Dragon Buster, a dungeon-crawling arcade platformer with RPG elements released by Namco in 85, later ported to various home systems, featured several firsts in gaming history. The Double Jump, the Life Meter, and the Hub World Map, also one of the first action games with RPG elements for the Switch and PS4.
Siberia, The World Before, the fourth game in the Siberia series, available for the PC.
Aquaventure, an Atari 2600 game that was essentially completed but never released anywhere except, allegedly, Brazil, a few years after it was shelved. Decades later, Atari put it on some of their flashback consoles and compilations, available for the Atari 2600 and other things, I'm sure.
Saboteur, a previously unreleased game for Atari 2600 from Howard Scott Warshaw, also available for the Atari 2600.
Yar's Return, a hack of Yar's Revenge to make it into a proper sequel, initially a homebrew, but later officially released on Atari compilations again for the 2600, the best gaming system of all time.
Shovel Knight, Pocket Dungeon, puzzle adventure starring Shovel Knight. It's available not for the Atari 2600, but for the PC, Switch, and PS4.
Among Us, the multiplayer survival game where a crew of space people must maintain the space base in order to survive while using social deduction to figure out who among them are imposters sent to murder them. And it's on a new system now, and I don't know which one exactly, but yeah, play it. It's on everything.
Eterna Noctis. It's a hand-drawn 2D action platformer from Aeternum Game Studios SL, and it's available for the PC.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Warp drive, the ability to travel faster than light, entirely a product of science fiction, at least until now, because the world's first warp bubble emerged as a recent accidental discovery by DARPA-funded researchers, according to the latest report. If you believe it, I still don't. The Limitless Space Institute, led by former NASA warp drive expert Dr. Harold G. Sunny White, has spotted an interesting encounter that could be used by spacecraft for faster travel.
Thank God it wasn't me, said Zephyr McCochran.
To be clear, our finding is not a warp bubble analog. It's a real, albeit humble and tiny warp bubble, said White in a statement, quickly dispensing with the notion that this is anything other than the creation of an actual real-world warp bubble. Hence the significance.
Huh.
Is this a warp core for ants?
The discovery took place during a research project studying not warp drive nor the 1994 theories of mathematician Miguel Alemicuri when he first offered potential for what warp technology might look like. Rather, this happened during a project studying Casimir cavities and the ability to produce energy. Through an incredibly serendipitous happenstance, an engineer conducting the research at the exact right time, one who was familiar with warp technology research and knew what he was looking for, to realize that the totally unrelated research had produced a warp bubble.
That's totally a warp bubble. You can trust me.
The observed effect was not something similar to warp bubble, but a very small, very humble, true-to-life structure that matched Alcubierre's research perfectly. For the first time, we know what physical tools it's going to take to create a real warp bubble. That means that warp field theory has made the move from outlandish science fiction into something we can actually build in the real world using tools and technology we already have.
Oh, I may need to work on the interspace tech first before we can take advantage of this, though.
That, in turn, opens the door to investigation of possible future investigation of warp fields and potential applications. Scientific study of the potential of warp drive is now officially on the table. And while this is very much a beginning, it opens the opportunity to do more research into the specific question of warp bubbles and Alcubierre's equations. As long as the researchers don't end up in the Delta Quadrant 60 cycles from Earth or the 25th century.
Alistair Lowe hadn't even been born when the NES was originally released in the UK, but he spent much of his childhood joyously playing on Nintendo's 8-bit machine after picking up one at a car boot sale in the mid-90s. He loved the aging machine, but when he upgraded to a Super NES, he encountered some problems.
Was it the extra buttons? Because that took me a while too.
Alistair has dyslexia, to the point where he finds some text, including the title of games, almost impossible to read. When he later got Ocarina of Time on the N64, he didn't realize it was part of the same series he loved on the NES until he started playing.
I felt the same way about Zelda too.
Between Atari and NES, it's great, he says. But then, from the SNES onward, they had so much more memory that they could fit novels in. The rise of text meant that Alistair had to give up hope of playing, or at least understanding, some of gaming's greatest hits, like Final Fantasy VII.
I still don't.
Last year, Alistair left his job at Mobile Developer to found Low Tech Games, and part of the studio's work is providing accessibility features for people with dyslexia. Alistair has developed a Unity plugin called Dyslectic that allows developers to easily add dyslexia-friendly text to their games.
A game developer that cares.
Alistair had been interested in making homebrew games for a while before he discovered NES Maker, a simple program that enables anyone to easily create games for Nintendo's 8-bit console. COVID helped me finish my game, Flea, because I was staying in at night doing all the level designs, said Alistair.
Meanwhile, I'm still trying to figure out how to make bread.
But Alistair went one step further than merely creating an NES game you can play on PC. Following a successful Kickstarter campaign, he produced a limited run of actual NES cartridges, so gamers can play Flea on the original console, or of course modern equivalents like the Retro N or Analog NT. Low-tech games followed up Flea with the disco-themed puzzle game Tapeworm, which was successfully funded on Kickstarter earlier this year. And Alistair is planning more NES games set in the Flea universe. Look, retro is chic now, baby. That means what's old is cool. Wait, does that mean we're cool now?
My mom says I am.
When George Perez announced that he was largely retiring from the comic space back in 2019, the much-acclaimed artist took the time to open up to some of the personal reasons behind his decision, understanding that fans were bound to have questions. At the time, he acknowledged how a number of ongoing health concerns effectively forced him to step back from creating comics as a whole.
Yeah, DC and Marvel would have been nothing without him.
Nothing. In a public post to his Facebook account, Perez is designated as the place for official updates about him. The 67-year-old artist beloved for the work at DC and Marvel, including iconic runs on Teen Titans, Avengers, Wonder Woman, Infinity Gauntlet, and of course Crisis on Infinite Earths, shared news that he has been diagnosed with inoperable stage 3 pancreatic cancer and now plans to spend as much of his remaining time prioritizing the things in life that bring him joy.
Well, he's earned it after all the joy he's brought the world.
Speaking matter-of-factly about his desire to use his remaining time to let his fans know that they've meant just as much to him as he has to them, Perez explained his plans to be somewhat more active on social media and to coordinate one last mass book signing where he'd like to hug everyone in attendance. The artist also added that while he knows that people are going to have more questions for him going forward, he wants people to understand that this time, attention and privacy are precious to him and his loved ones right now. Look, Teen Titans, Avengers, Wonder Woman, Infinity Gauntlet,
Crisis on Infinite Earths. The man has been the hand that brought us gods, superheroes, and brought to life amazing stories. We're saddened by the diagnosis, and we wish him the best. We've said it before, and we'll say it again. It's far too many times, but F cancer!
Hollywood sure loves to take away voiceover roles from actors whose performances have become synonymous with the character in favor of someone with a bit more Hollywood star power. But Paramount Pictures just made video games fans' nice list after it was announced that Colleen O'Shaughnessy, who has been voicing the character since 2014, would be joining the cast of Sonic the Hedgehog 2 to continue her reign as Miles Tails Prower.
See, Hollywood, it's not that hard.
O'Shaughnessy provided the voice for Tails in the mid-credit sequence of the first Sonic the Hedgehog film, but fans began to worry she'd been replaced by a celebrity A-lister when her casting wasn't confirmed alongside Idris Elba's reveal as Knuckles. Diehard Sonic fans are thrilled that O'Shaughnessy's tenure is being appreciated in a culture that frequently devalues the skills of voiceover artists in favor of household name celebrities, which of course adds a tally on the board for those believing Sega does what Nintendo don't.
Ooh, sick burn!
First introduced in 1992, Tails has been voiced by a variety of voiceover artists over the years, but O'Shaughnessy's work as Tails is frequently hailed as the definitive performance by fans. O'Shaughnessy took up the mantle in 2014 with the series Sonic Boom. She's provided the voice of Tails not just in subsequent Sonic video games, but also for his cameo appearances in non-game mediums, like the Let's Meet Sonic episode of OKKO, Let's Be Heroes.
Sometimes someone nails the performance and no other can top them.
Tails was introduced as the perfect player 2 to Sonic and was designed to be appealing to younger siblings or children of whoever was in control of player 1. He's a cute, humble, and kind-natured fox who was often picked on due to his twin Tails. Sonic, however, saw the potential in Tails, and he's been a loyal friend ever since. Looking up to Sonic and dreaming that one day he'll be just like him. Tails is also a mechanical prodigy with intelligence that rivals Dr. Eggman, but according to game lore, he's not yet realized his full capabilities. This makes Tails the perfect companion to Sonic, and Sonic the Hedgehog 2 will hopefully explore this side of his character when it is released in theaters on April 8th, 2022. In a world where voice actors are constantly getting the shaft from face actors, it's nice to see a role going to someone who deserves it. And at least, it's not Chris Pratt.
Oh, sick burn! Weird Al Yankovic shared that he'll be going on a huge North American tour. The run of 133 shows over 6 months is aptly named The Unfortunate Return of the Ridiculously Self-Indulgent, Ill-Advised Vanity Tour, and will kick off April 26, 2022 in Poughkeepsie, New York, come to a close October 29th at New York's Carnegie Hall, which will mark Yankovic's debut performance at the historic venue.
Wait, really? He has not played Carnegie?
In 2018, Yankovic set off on the original Ridiculously Self-Indulgent, Ill-Advised Vanity Tour, and in 2019 moved to his Strings Attached Tour, which he called the most full-blown, over-the-top extravaganza ever.
Which is saying something, because his shows usually entail nearly 200 costume changes and 3 different accordions. He rocks them really hard.
I've loved doing every single incarnation of my live shows, but honestly, the Vanity Tour is the most fun I've ever had on stage, he said in a press release. So I've been dying to get back out there and torture everybody with it once again.
No. How dare you, sir? I will not allow you to besmirch your own name.
The Unfortunate Return of the Ridiculously Self-Indulgent, Ill-Advised Vanity Tour will feature Yankovic's longtime friend comedian Emo Phillips, who will open each show, which makes an amazing show even more amazing. Hit the shows to find a date near you. Sadly, the notes don't mention anything about the concession stands and whether or not they have the Twinkie Wiener sandwiches. Come on!
Dude, emo opening for Weird Al, right? Hell yeah. That's like my 80s as a child dream lineup right there.
It's like, oh my God, thank you. You brought that one magical moment from UHF, well, one of them, to life all over again? That's fantastic. Not that I want you to cut your fingers off or anything, emo. Not that. If you've got some ideas of what should and could happen and where you're going to see the show, drop a note to podcast at geekradiodaily.com or, of course, a voicemail, text, message, use the magic numbers of
510-GRD-CRAP.
We'll see you.
Blah, 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 blah.
It's only a game. Why you have to be mad?
Peace out, player. Good night, suckers.
Well, folks, I am out of here.
You're different Viking now. Yes, I have to go.
No!
Yes. Everything you need to learn is in here. Out there is some boy who needs me. He's small. He's puny. Like he were.
But Artie, you're my best friend.
I always will be, my little Viking.
But will I ever see you again?
Worry not, boy. Worry not.
For I am Artie, the strongest man.